thank you, Brother Chris. I hope you know what he was singing about. That's a great message and song. Well, with the Thanksgiving week on us, we're going to ask you to go to the Psalms. We could almost take any of them and find, not any of them, but many of them, that would have something to say about Thanksgiving. And I'm going to pick one in Psalms 97 and ask you to go there, 12 verses. We're going to read all of them. I hope you open your Bible and look at them and think about the words as we go through this psalm, as we talk this morning on the subject of giving thanks. And beginning in Psalms 97, says, "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies around about. His lightnings enlighteth the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." You know, as we look in the Bible and as we think on the subject of Thanksgiving, we could find it all through the Word of God. I mean, we find it in the Old Testament, we find it in the New Testament. We recognize that it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And there's much about Thanksgiving in the Word of God. And I would like to say, in the old days, there was a lot of Thanksgiving in the minds of Americans. I remember in school, back before, of course, they didn't even, who would imagine when I went to school they were going to outlaw the Bible in school? Or stop the Lord's Prayer, so-called, or anything else like that. And I remember in the third grade in school memorizing the 100th Psalm. I mean, there we're told to serve the Lord with gladness. Remember that? And that was kind of common knowledge among folks, that Thanksgiving was a good time, and it was a time to thank the Lord and all of that. Stephen made reference in Sunday school this morning. Some folks call it Turkey Day. You ought not do that. It's a bigger thing than that. It's more important than that. And we recognize, as we do go through the scripture, though, that part of this thing of gratitude to God, you find a lot of warnings in the Bible about ingratitude also. And ingratitude, by the way, folks, is what comes natural to you and I. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. You ever notice parents, they have to teach kids to say thank you, right? They have to teach them to share. You know what our natural attitude is? To grab and hold on and to get and to keep and to put self first. That's a natural thing with all of us. Ingratitude is our nature. No wonder the Lord said in the 10th commandment, "Thou shalt not what? Covet." That's the natural thing, man. The flesh will just covet. The flesh will look at one thing and never be satisfied. The Bible says the eyes of man are never satisfied. I've had to fight that thing in my own life, and all of us have to. We have to master those old natural depraved emotions that's just natural to have. A preacher friend of mine, I've told this so much, but it impressed me when I heard him tell it. He said he'd been at the church so many years, and the deacons got together and wanted to buy him a new car. They said, "Go down, pick out anything you want, load it, everything on it, Get it like you want it. So he did. He went to the Chevrolet place back when they made big cars and ordered him a great big station wagon. He said it had every button. You could push a button and the back window went down. I mean, he said just every little thing. It was two-tone paint. It had all the full chrome. And he said, finally they called him and said, we've got your car in. It's been washed and cleaned up. Come get it. He said, I went out to the Chevrolet place. It was a beautiful thing. Said, I got in it, pulled out. It drove so sweet and nice. He said, I pulled up to the first red light. And I looked over to my left, and there pulled up a big Buick station wagon. And he said, why didn't I get that? Isn't that amazing on human nature? That's a commentary on every one of us. Eyes of man's never satisfied. We've got that. That's a natural thing, that ingratitude that we have to fight. You know what we're seeing on the news up in the streets of New York and the big cities? Ingratitude. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing a crowd out there whose eyes are never satisfied. Somebody says, what's the difference in them and the Tea Party? The difference in apples and oranges. The Tea Party, man, they got out and cleaned up behind themselves, went home at night, and on Monday morning went to work. That's a big difference in that crowd that's out there now. I mean, they didn't have to cart food in and feed a bunch of bums and take the shovels out there and clean up behind them and arrest a bunch of them that's attacking the law and breaking windows and all the rest of it, keeping other people from going to work. That's ingratitude for you. You talk about biting the hand that feeds you, that's exactly what's going on there. And I look around today and I see America is filled with ingratitude. Jesus had 10 lepers meet him one day. You can read about it in Luke 17 sometime. 10 lepers, they had to stand afar off and they cried, Master. And Jesus told them, go show yourself to the priest. That was the Old Testament command. The priest was the only one could declare them healed when he saw that they were. And so as they begin to go, they discovered, hey, my leprosy's gone. We're healed, 10 of them. But the Bible says only one came back to thank Jesus. You know what Jesus said? He said, were they not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? And the big question today might still be, where are the 9? I'd hope that you and I would take time, and especially as we think about it on this Thanksgiving season, that we would take time to truly, truly, honestly be thankful to God for what we have. You that have read Pilgrim's Progress, you remember on the way, Christian on his way to the Celestial City, he came to a very dangerous piece of road. You say, was the bridge out? No. Dangerous piece of road. What made it dangerous? It was named the Forgetful Green, where the Christian on his way to heaven suddenly forgot all of God's blessings. A dangerous place called Forgetful Green. And I'd say to you today, we all, if we're not careful, will find ourselves on that dangerous piece of road if we don't watch out, being forgetful to be thankful. You know, the Bible tells us to be thankful in all things, Ephesians 5:20. That's pretty hard, you say, hard life. How can I be thankful for it? Well, the Bible tells us that we can. Do you understand that what might be happening to us today is not the whole story? If we can get our eye off of the now and get it on the blessed by and by and see what God Almighty has for us in the end, then we can stand what's going on now, even if it seems bad to us. You know, thankfulness is an attitude you have to choose. That's right. You do have a choice, personally, whether or not you want to be a thankful person or an unthankful person. Whether you want to criticize and gripe about everything or you want to see the good in it. You know, you can look at a rose bush out there and be thankful for the roses, or you can gripe about the thorns, whichever way you look. You can look at a glass and see if it's half full or half empty. Amen. All right, that's the way we choose to look at things. And you know what? We have to fight the old nature to look at them the way God tells us to look at them in His Word. And as we think about Thanksgiving, I'm going to say just a little bit this morning, a little bit maybe even from my personal viewpoint. The word thankfulness, they say it came from an old Anglo-Saxon word that means thankfulness or thankful. Thankful, think empty. Make a choice about it. You know, we can do that. And I want to say today that I'm personally, as I looked and as I reminisce, and the older I get, the more I guess I do that. But I want to say today I'm thankful for God's care in the past. You know, nothing gives a light like hindsight to look back. And sometimes we'd be a little more quick to count our blessings if we just look back instead of always wanting more, look back on what we've already received. And God's care in the past. You know what he did for me? He loved me while I didn't love him. He loved me while I was yet a sinner, the scriptures tell to me. You know, love me as a sinner. I know now, I didn't know it when it was happening, but I know now God was protecting me. God was allowing me to live when natural circumstances, maybe I should have been killed. Stephen and I drove all night the other night getting back from Kentucky, and I'm sure glad I had him. I found out the easiest thing for me to do was shut my eyes and pray and let him go. So I still take credit for us making it, amen? But with all that said, you know, you're going to stay awake sometime when you're tired and hurting. Generally, I don't have him cornered where I can tell him all the old stories I could tell him while he was driving. He can get away, but he couldn't get away. And it helped us both stay awake just a little bit. So as I passed some places, after we got back in Florida, like up here around Clearmont, where I used to work with the crews harvesting fruit, he'd asked me, I knew he really didn't want to know, he just wanted to stay awake. But I accommodated him, amen? And as we were driving down the road and passed a certain place, he asked me this or that, and I remembered, I don't think I told him this, but I remembered a few miles from that place where I left that job after having been up too late the night before, worked all day, it was almost dark, I got in my souped-up Ford and was coming down Highway 27 when it was a two-lane road, I'd never forget it, when I passed there, and I went to sleep. And when I woke up, I was doing a Duke of Hazzards thing. Does anybody know what that is? That's when the General Lee was flying through the air. Do you remember that? On that show? Stupid show. But anyway, I saw a few of them. I know cars don't fly like that, by the way, and land like they did and everything be all right. But that day when I woke up, I was going through the air in that Ford coupe. There was a big diesel truck I was meeting, an 18-wheeler. He had already, I guess, probably I'd been zigzagging. He'd already shut that thing down in the middle of the road and got out on the running board to know which way to run. Truthfully. When I woke up, the thing was leaving the road. I knew better than to snatch the wheel. I was going to hit him. And so I just held it the best I could. It went over a big ditch, big culvert, landed in an oak thicket, and threw me out, four seat belts, folks, threw me to the next side of the car. I reached over, still holding the wheel with my left hand, dodging oak trees. That's God's truth. When you get to heaven, ask for that video. Now hear me. You know, that was a phenomenon. It landed on all four wheels. It landed in a sand bed. I did lose a fender skirt and sag a door. I got out of the car and looked. The truck driver was standing on the running board waving at me about a quarter mile back up on the road. Now, you know what? When I passed there, I realized the paper the next morning could have said a young man killed right here, and I'd have been forgotten right on and on. That'd have been it. There was a God that said, not yet. He hadn't heard the gospel yet. Let's give him another time to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say you believe it. I believe it with all my heart. I thank God. I thank God that he cared for me in the past and didn't let me go that day. And so many other times I could tell you about. I remember, and you've heard me tell it, living in the house behind the old hotel there. I turned 12 years old in that house. And that was a scary day for me. Because mother had preached Chimney Corner Bible. Not in the Bible. Folks just think it is. She used to say when she'd get mad at my brother and I, she'd say something like this: "All right, your sins are on me now. I'm your mama. But when you turn 12, your sins are going to be on you and God's going to get you." She instilled a fear of God in me about turning 12 years old. That's the truth. I remember laying in that bed in that front room. The living room was a bedroom if you're poor enough. And I living in that, laying in that bed, and I remember thinking, tomorrow I'm 12. Tomorrow I got to be perfect. Tomorrow I can have no more fun. Tomorrow I can't do this, and tomorrow I can't do that. And I dreaded tomorrow, but tomorrow came. And I got up the next morning trying my best to be Mr. Perfect. I was tiptoeing around. I wasn't sassy. I was just trying to be good. But somewhere in the late afternoon, my brother crossed me and I forgot about it. And you know what? When I went to bed the next night, I knew one big thing. I had failed. I had come short. I didn't know there was a Bible that said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I didn't know that verse. But I knew I tried and I blew it. I couldn't even make it one day. And I was convicted from that time on that I had sins that I was going to have to answer for. And I dreaded facing God. So I'm thankful even for the fact that he brought conviction on me at a young age that I was a sinner. Amen. You know, when I first come to church, and many of you know the story, of course, Sonia, my wife now, I asked her for a date, and church was the only place she'd go. Women and girls, that's still the smartest thing you can do. I mean, a whole pile of you wouldn't be in trouble if you'd have done that. But I remember going to church, and they sang the invitation, Brother Cruz, and just as I am, without one plea. I don't know when you're going to quit moving when I start talking to you over here. All right, I'm taking that back, Brother Hearing. Just as I am, without one plea. I could understand English, but I couldn't believe it. It sounded too good. How could I, as a sinner, come just as I am? I couldn't get a hold of that. And there's a lot of folks can't get a hold of that because we got instilled in the devil is instilled in every one of us. We got to earn our way. We got to be good enough. We got to live that perfect day. That's what I'm talking about. And yet I remember the Holy Spirit of God speaking to me. And I you know, the biggest excuse preachers hear about folks not being saved? It's this: I just can't live it yet. Well, I got news for you. You never will be able to live it yet. I'm so glad somebody else lived it for me. So glad somebody else took my place. Somebody else that did do the perfect day and did do the perfect life and did fulfill all the law. And yes, he's my substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stepped in as the one that paid my sin debt. Oh, that song, Just As I Am. I went to church one Sunday morning over here in Auburndale. I was dating a girl whose dad, I believe, was a deacon in the church. I know he sang in the choir. More than that, he was the judge, city judge. And I'd gotten in trouble over there. To be briefly, I was in a fight. And the police went out and booked me and this fellow I was fighting with, and we were going to have to face court. And I thought it'd be a smart thing for me to show up in church sitting beside his daughter on Sunday morning. Do you see the reasoning in that? Huh? That's exactly what I thought. And so I sat out there and pretended to sing when I couldn't. Still pretend and can't. But anyway, I could smile and look good. I don't know what the preacher said. I don't know. But I do know one thing. I was sitting about like over here to the right, the pulpit, about halfway down, maybe a little toward the back. And the preacher walked down when he got through preaching, stood there and gave what I know now is an invitation. I wasn't sure what he was doing. And a man came down the aisle, came down the aisle and took the preacher by the hand. Now, when that man passed me, I'd never seen him before in my life, but I knew something about him. I knew what he was. I knew he was a drunk. I knew he was an alcoholic. It wasn't that I could smell it. I could just tell. And the preacher took him by the hand and gave his name and said, told us that he had accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You know what that did for me? It seemed like, you know, I thought, if he could do that, you reckon I could do it? If there's any hope for him, I know he was a drunk and the preacher said he was, but if there was any hope for him, would there be any hope for me? It just seemed too good to be true. But the good part was that God was bringing conviction on my part that, yeah, I did it for him and I can do it for you. Amen. You may be here today and you say, any hope for me? I got good news for you. Look all around you. There's a lot of folks that had no hope till they met Jesus. You're looking at one and you're hearing one right now. I had no hope till he met Jesus. And that same Jesus is hope for you and victory for you. And you can be saved if you'll come to him just as you are. He'll receive you. He'll receive you. You know, he changed me. A change I couldn't make on my own. Now the Bible says if any man be in Christ, and that's what you get when you get Jesus, you get in him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Makes a change in you. I went to the barber shop here a number of years back after I'd been pastoring here a good while. And as I went to the barber shop, there was a fellow in the chair and I sat down to wait. And the more I looked at that fellow in the chair, even though he had that cloth around him, you know, and more I looked at him, the more he looked familiar to me. And about the time I figured out who he was, he spoke to me. And he said, Mickey, I am so proud of you. I never would have expected the change you've made. He was the judge. He's a judge. I had stood before and tried to explain what I was doing 75 mile an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone through Haines City. And more than one time, it was a car incident that brought me before him. And he mentioned a couple of those things, and he kept saying, I can't believe the change, and I'm so thankful for you. And of course, I told him, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the answer. And the judge was saved. He knew what he was talking about. He knew what had happened to me. He understood. But I want to say to you today, I'm thankful for God in the past. I'm thankful for the change that he made when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You see, I was raised poor and all that and all those things. And now I see the goodness of God even in that. But I want to tell you, there was a time I would have been ashamed to have been in a lot of places because I couldn't dress as well as some. Or many reasons, I couldn't speak as well as some. In fact, it's only lately that I've been able to speak weller. I'm joking with you some now. Not too much. Some. But here's the good news. One day I met somebody that made me as good as anybody, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, I'm thankful for his care in the past. I'm thankful for his forgiveness in the present, right now. You say, preacher, you still need forgiving? Well, ask my wife. Somebody said the Pope wouldn't think he was perfect if he was married. Amen. You know why I still need forgiveness? Because I'm still in the old body. I'm still in the old flesh. And you know what? The Lord has made provision for that. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, isn't that wonderful? You know what an advocate is? He's one that takes up for you. You ever remember in school, kids, brothers, sisters, cousins? Do you ever hear a kid say something like this? Don't mess with him, his brother will take up for him. Did you ever hear that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I got a big brother that takes up for me. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my advocate. Bible says that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I got an attorney before the throne, the court in heaven that takes up for me. Amen. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Oh yeah, I thank God for his forgiveness in the present. You know, it is possible, young people, to live right when you get saved, because you've got one that'll take up for you if you'll turn it over to him. Amen. You know, I see parents today, I fear too many kids, and especially young men, being raised as wimps. Because every time they get in a little splash at school, every time anybody, it runs to mama. Now, I want to tell you something. You ought to let some of them kids settle some things for themselves. That'll do a lot of good for them in growing up and being strong and being the man they ought to be later. Some of you parents ought to just pretend sometime you don't know some things and see how Junior works through it. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Let him stand on his own a little bit and let him look to the Lord. Amen. You know what? A lot of you kids would be a whole lot better off walking closer to the Lord than you do to mama. Now, just you women, stay away from me after church. I'll bite your head off. I'm telling you the truth. We are raising a bunch of sick kids in this world today because the parents are messing around like they do. And the truth of the matter is, let your kids learn a personal relationship with the Lord also. Let them take some things to him they wouldn't even take to you. Stay away from me now. I mean it. You know, the truth of the matter is that God is able to do that. Young people, live for the Lord, because what you're sowing now, you're going to reap later. Young people, it does pay to serve God in the now and in the future. It'll pay off a lot more in the future. The psalmist said, I have been young, now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Listen, we do have an advocate. We do have a companion. We do have one that'll guide you through this life that you can depend on. Learn to do it. Learn to do it. I'm thankful for his forgiveness in the present. I'm thankful for his provision in the future. You know what brings most worry today is not what happened yesterday. Not what's happening today, but what's going to happen tomorrow. See, that's the part we don't know. That's the part we worry about the most. Yet the truth of the matter is, we can trust God with the tomorrows, just like we can the yesterdays. It brings a lot of worry. Well, there's going to be war, nuclear war. Yeah, the Bible says so. I don't know when, but I know one thing. God's in charge of it. Is it going to be the economy going to get better or worse? It'll get better. It'll get worse. But ultimately, God's in charge of it. He's still in charge. Around this town and other towns around here, I remember when everybody's the big thing to do was build a bomb shelter in the backyard. I've been in a lot of them, a service job that I had at that time. And I saw some elaborate things. I can take you to one or two right here in town. You wouldn't even suspect it. But they got an entrance in the backyard. They go down there. They got dried food. They got fans. I asked one or two of them, what are you going to do when you come out? Well, Mickey, you know this, that. I said, look, I got one too. Oh, you have? I said, yeah, you got a hole in the ground. I've got a hole in the sky. I'm going up while you're going down. Amen. Hey, that's where my trust is, brother. I mean, the Lord can take care. The Lord can provide. He's promised to provide through his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm going to trust him for that. Now, I've got an evacuation route. Say, how you know? How you going to find your way? Well, I'll follow the sound of the trumpet, brother. And the Lord's going to sound it one of these days. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain going to be caught up together with them in the air, brother, in the clouds. And he goes on to the last verse there and says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And that is a comfort. Man, that is a comfort. I'm thankful to the Lord for his forgiveness in the present, his provision in the future, and he's made some promises. You know what? I go around here and shake hands with you folks, and I've got names all over these prayer lists right here. You know what the problem is? You know what's the problem with most of these names on this prayer list? the body is wearing out, including this one. That's okay. I got another one waiting. Amen. Did you ever have an old set of tires on your car and you thought I could just get another 1,000 miles out of them? Old carcass about wore out, but I'd squeeze a little more out. Well, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm squeezing some more wear out of this thing. But that's okay. I'm going to get a whole new carcass one of these days. A whole new body already prepared for me. Say, why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ promised. He even got a new house for it to live in. It's called a mansion in heaven. Amen. Oh, yeah. That's the promises of God. Got a new body. Philippians 3:21, speaking of him, speaking of our conversation being in heaven and his return, says, when he returns, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like his glorious body? Oh, I'll be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. That's what the writer said. I will then. When I look in the mirror right now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not too satisfied. I see things happening to that roadmap that I never expected. Amen? When I get to a side mirror, it really hurts. I avoid them everywhere I can. But one day, I'll have a body I won't be ashamed of a thing on it, amen? It'll be a glorious body, fashioned like unto his, and that's okay. I want to get all the wear out of this one I can, as long as I can wear it out for him. But his provision for the future is great. It's going to be all right. Won't have to worry about improving it a bit. Now, I want to say to you here this morning, if you don't know what I've been talking about, you need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to know that Jesus loved you and died for you and paid for your sins on the cross. And he'll take you just like you are, just as I am, without one plea. But the good news is he'll change you. Amen. He'll make something different out of you, something new out of you, if you'll give him a chance. That's what he'll do. You know, Bible tells us Jesus said he was the door. He was the door. Any man wants to come in that door, he said he's the door to the sheepfold. And if you want to step through a door that'll change you, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you generally step through a door in this world, you are stepping into a different place. Even if it's in the house, you're going from the living room to the bedroom, or from one door enters into another. Listen, Jesus is the door. You want to change your location, you want to change your atmosphere, you want to change where you're at, come to the door. And it'll open you to a new life. It'll open you to victory that you don't have now, to liberty that you don't have now. You know, it'll give you an attitude change is what it'll do. You know, folks, I'm not telling you to be thankful when the good things come. The Bible says be thankful in all things. So God can change my attitude to where I can be thankful and count my blessings that I'm overlooking right now. And if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the biggest blessing you have is your sins are paid for. You don't fear getting 12 years old. You don't fear getting 112 years old in the Lord Jesus. They're all paid for. They're all taken care of. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin, the Bible says. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. You know what sad truth is today? There's a lot of folks don't know their way. They're stressed out. They don't have the answer. They don't know where to escape to. They can't find the door, as it were, to tell them how to live their life. And Jesus is the open door before them all the time, if they just come to him. Many years ago, we went up on the mountain where some friends, church members, have a nice place, cabins and so forth. Went up there for a few days vacation. And as Chris was singing a while ago, I slipped away for a quiet time in one of those buildings that had been used as a chapel. I went in there with my Bible and just having a quiet time with the Lord. But after I got in and got seated and no one else was there, I noticed a little bird had gotten in that building. And that little bird was in a panic. It was flying around, trying to find its way out, hunting a way out. You'd see the wings drooping. It had tired itself out so much, trying to find its way out. It was very conscious that I'd come in and begin to try to flutter and fly again. And I got up and I went and opened the door just as wide open as I could open it. And then I went to the other side of the building and sat back down. And every now and then I'd glance up to see that little bird. And I'd see it fly and be stressed out. And I'd think all the time, there's the door. There it is. There's liberty. There's freedom. There's new life on the other side. Go to the door. And I got to thinking, you know, that's what I've been trying to tell folks for so long. The door's open. Jesus is the door. That's where your freedom's at. That's where your liberty is. Now, the end of that story is finally a little old bird flew out the door. I guess in my mind's eye, I thought I heard him say thank you. Maybe not. But the truth is, Jesus has got the door open. It's open for you this morning. You can have a new life on the other side. You can have victory. You get so much when you get Jesus. You get the peace of heart and of mind. You get one that represents you before the throne of heaven. You get the one that paid for your sins on the cross. And oh, listen, it makes it where all the circumstances of life will make more sense to you because you know how it turns out. I challenge you this morning. See the door. He's the door. Come to the open door. Come and get the liberty that you have in Jesus Christ. And oh, here's the good news. He'll never shut the door in your face. It's open to you. Say, you don't know me. Don't have to. I know Jesus. And Jesus is the open door for you. You can come this morning and receive Christ. I pray you'll meet me right here and say, preacher, my life maybe has been much like yours. I'm going to do what you did. I'm going to come receive Christ. I pray you'd do it this morning. Let's bow our heads, please.